This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. So there's already been a couple of words. It's awesome. I think we're going to build on that going forward. My name is Helmut. For those who don't know me, I'm one of the elders. Been in the church for a while. If you're young enough, longer than what you've been alive. 26 years this year. So it's been a while. It's a long journey. Before we go to the word, let's just pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, that your word, Lord, is alive, Lord God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us, Lord, that you're the helper, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray before, Father, that the words will go out, Lord God, and it will touch hearts, Lord God, and that people, every one of us, will hear, Lord, tonight, Lord, Holy Spirit, what you want to say to us, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'll cut through all the noise in our heads, Lord God, in our lives, in our hearts, Lord, and they will just hear you clearly, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this dude called Eutychus. Who's heard of Eutychus? Not one. Wow. Huh? So you read your Bibles. Well, to be honest, Ross asked me about a month ago to preach tonight, and about 3 weeks ago I was praying about what I should be preaching about. You know, what is the word that the Lord wants to bring tonight? And I feel it's already been confirmed by what Conrad has said and what Philip has said. I was driving in the car, and the Lord just, I said, what am I need to preach? When I do, is there a scripture? What is on your heart? And the Lord just said to me, remind me, and he said, the dude that died and fell out of the window, and Paul Rose. Remember? Yeah? So I had to, same, I didn't know his name either. So it's a story. When I read it the first time, I was sort of reading through it and saying, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? And like as the weeks have progressed, it's really grown in my heart. And it's really, I want you to listen tonight, because I really feel that God wants to say to some of you something that you need to grasp tonight. You need to grasp it tonight, not next week or not the week thereafter. So we're just giving some context here, the little map. So we're going to Acts. It happened in Acts. So Paul is on his third missionary trip. He started here at Antioch. He's moving along. He's gone through Ephesus. For those who remember in Ephesus, they wanted to kill him, throw him. And then he got, you know, the famous scene at the shoreline where he greets everybody, hugs everybody. It's an emotional scene. He gets on the boat and he goes off. And then he happens to be in Troas. So this is where we are tonight. We're in Troas. It's a sermon like this. Paul is preaching. We're going to read the scripture now. I'm just going to give you a picture. So imagine, you know, this picture. The only difference is it's, you know, somewhere between 54 and 58 AD. It's just a long time ago. Sorry? I'm going to try and keep it just before one. So it's a Sunday, the first day of the week. So if you think in those days, people were working on the first day of the week. Sundays was just a normal working day. So the sermon, or the people sort of gathered around about sunset. So they started gathering around sunset. And it was a venue probably a bit smaller than this, not as many windows. And the windows in those days, I'm going to show you a picture later, but it's not like a window today where you have glass and you've got all the stuff. It's just a hole in the wall. There wasn't glass. Glass was really expensive, and very few people had glass windows. Maybe some of the churches or those sort of things, but in general, very, very small numbers of those things. So I just wanted to sort of give a little bit of a picture. So then let's go into it. If you have a Bible, you can go there. I'm going to read in the Amplified, just because it just speaks nicely. It says, now on the first day of the week, a Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread and share communion, Paul began talking with him, intending to leave the next day, and he kept on with his message until midnight. So it hasn't stopped at midnight. He's just going on to midnight. Now, there were many lamps in the upper room where we were assembled. So that's Luke writing, yeah, the doctor. And there was a young man named Eutychus. And guess what was his name? What his name meant? Lucky. Fortunate. The Amplified Bible says actually lucky. So lucky. So lucky, he was sitting on the windowsill. This is no jokes. This is in the Bible. Who's got an Amplified Bible here? Anybody got an Amplified Bible that can bear out that it stands there? Any case. He was sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking longer and longer, so we're probably about 1 o'clock, 1:30. So I'll definitely finish before 1. He was completely overcome by sleep, and he fell down from the third story. And he was picked up dead. So the story doesn't end so lucky. For lucky. The first couple of verses. But then, we go to Acts 20, verse 10. But Paul went down and threw himself on him and embraced him and said to those standing around him, "Do not be troubled, because he is alive." And when Paul had gone back upstairs and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked informally and confidentially with him for a long time, until daybreak, in fact. So he just went on. And then he left in the boat. And I think a couple of people were saying, "Whew, at last, we can go home. We can go on with our life." So they took the boy, Lucky, home alive, and were greatly comforted and encouraged. Have you read this before? Can you remember it now? It's an awesome story. It's a small story. It's just a couple of verses stuck in the Bible, in a long book. Acts is a long book, lots of writing, and just this little bit. And it's really a gem. So I couldn't find a picture of a third story, but I just want to sort of picture in your mind, you know, this is the ruins. It is actually ruins in Greece. Doubted whether it was from 55 AD, but, you know, that's the best picture I can get. So it's a third story window. So I don't know, how many of you have fallen out of a third story window? Conrad, okay. Course his venster. Oh, okay, he sprung. Okay, he jumped. He didn't fall. He wasn't asleep. So, I just want to say, so if you fall out of this window, I just wanted to let you picture in your mind, this is not like, this is not falling off your chair. This is like a distance. He broke a couple of things. He crushed a few vertebrae. It was doctors here. It was, skull was, there were some serious injuries. The young man was broken. So I just want to keep that in the back of your mind. He was really broken. It wasn't like just a soft fall. So what do we know of this young man, Lucky? Well, based on the word they're using, it's sort of somebody between 25 and 40. His name is Fortunate or Lucky. We know he was in church. We know he was a Christian. We also know that he fell asleep while sitting in a window and that he fell to his death. That's about all that we know from what we can see there. But there's a lot happening. So if you think about Lucky, the picture, sitting in the window, I want to ask you this question. Do you think that when Lucky went and sat in that window that he was going to fall out and die? No, he wasn't. He was just enjoying himself. He could look out in the stars and the moon, and maybe there was a, you know, total eclipse of the moon like we had on Friday night. I don't know if I hope you saw it. It's, most of us won't see it again in that way, since the next one is 100 years from now. So, you know, maybe he's seeing an eclipse. He was having a good time looking outside. He could look inside as well. And that was maybe one of the problems. So if we look at, if we analyze of why did he fell, you know, it's just like, who done it? So why did Lucky fall? Why did he fall? So the first couple of things is up there. It's not very hard things. It's probably working the day. So it was a long day. He got there. The room was stuffy. It wasn't aircon, nice ventilation, all those things. It wasn't there. There was a lot of people. Paul was there. there wasn't space probably for anywhere else. You know, maybe that was the reason why he was sitting there. He couldn't find any other space. He was late, so he had to sit at the back, right at the window, you know, in the window. And the Bible says there were many lamps. So guess what? Those lamps were not electric lights like this. There was like these oil lamps. I don't know if you've seen those. When they burn, they give off fumes. So if you were in that room long enough, you know, you'll be getting some very stuffy air into that room. Plus, it's burning oxygen in the room. So, to be honest, it was a long sermon. Right? If they start at sunset, then midnight is quite late. And he didn't fall at midnight because Paul went on longer and longer, and then only did he fall. So it was a long sermon. And it's after midnight. So if you look at the things, you can say, well, these are the things that are the issue. This is why he fell. So if you look sometimes in our lives, things happen. You know, we go through really tough times, real great disappointments, wrenching moments, and, struggles that really, we struggle and it really saps our energy. We get tired. We run out of steam. And like Kunrad said, we just don't see the light. We just don't see the hope disappears. Like Philip said, it's like a dark tunnel. You just can't see the light. And we reach that point where we sort of get overwhelmed by all of it, by life. And by the things that are around us, relationships, things going wrong. And it's easy in those times to sometimes say, well, I've been praying for this for so long. Is God alive? Is he still alive? Is he still, you know, does he still care about me? And will the situation that I'm in, will it ever change? Because sometimes it's tough. We all go through those times, but it's really tough. But the reason why Lucky fell wasn't because he was tired and all these other things. There were two main reasons. Obviously, this contributed to it. But the fact that we're going through tough times, the fact that we're struggling, the fact that things are really bad in our lives and we're struggling to make ends meet or we've got relational issues, all those things don't necessarily make us fall and make us stumble. It's the next thing. The reason why he fell was simply because he was sitting in the window. If he had sat anywhere else, it would have just been an embarrassing moment. If Johannes fell off the chair now and he nods off and he falls off, we're going to laugh. And next year still, we're going to, you know, joke around it for the next couple of years. We're not going to forget it. Then he nodded off in church and fell over. But he was sitting in the window. He was sitting in a place that was a bit dangerous. And if you look at the seat, if you look at the back, in the back of the church, in this window, he could be easily distracted. Because he could look outside, he could look at the stars, he could look down. Either there was a courtyard at the back or at the bottom, or there was a street at the bottom. Now, granted, midnight in those days, there were probably not a lot of movement, but he could have been watching around there, sort of distracting and through it all. So he was sort of almost, like I say there in the slide, almost half in, half out. He was on the edge. He was on the edge of where the church was meeting. And he shouldn't have been sitting there. You agree? He was a bit reckless. He was a bit careless. And you know, when we go through tough times, it's so easy. This is just a physical thing. It's just sad. But if you think about this, just as an analogy in our own lives, when things get tough, when we get tired, when there's so many things happen in our lives, it is so easy to disconnect. It's so easy to disengage. It's so easy to go and sit in the back, in the window, look out at the stars, and just lose a bit of focus. It's so easy. And, you know, we all go through those times. We all go through those patches where we lose focus. But you know what? God is in control of our lives, and he is calling us to be inside. And for some of you, you may even be feeling like you're sitting outside. You were the guy or the girl that told everybody, that shouted to everybody in the church, he fell out. Because who noticed? How did they know? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say how they noticed. You may be sitting outside on the bunkie, on the bench, and just, you know, here comes Lucky. And he hits the pavement just in front of you. So So you could be outside. So really, you know, it's like, it's so easy to go from inside to on the edge to outside. God has never called us to be outside or on the edge. He wants us to be inside. And what does inside mean? Does it mean inside this building? Does it mean? Yes, yeah. Anybody? Yes or no? No. It doesn't mean inside the building. It means that we are connected, that we are cared for, that you know the person sitting next to you, that you know the other people in the church. There's a connection with the people around us. Then we're inside. And with, you know, we've had a couple of people speaking over the last couple of months around this whole being connected in this world that we are living in, where there's so many things that takes our attention, so much technology that doesn't bring true connection. So, you know, when it comes to God, He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows where you've been last summer and this summer. He knows everything about you, and He cares for you. He really cares for you. He really loves you. And He wants to be inside, where you feel safe, where you are connected, where you don't feel like you can nod off at the back and nobody will notice. Where you know people are going to watch out for you. That you know that if you're going to fall asleep in the back in the window, then somebody is hopefully going to see you and say, "Lucky, you need to move away from this window. This is not a good situation." So the other reason, obviously, why he fell is obviously he fell asleep. If he hadn't fallen asleep, he wouldn't have fallen as well. So he can't, like I said before, he became a bit careless. He was maybe a bit disengaged at the end there, nodding off. He was maybe just tired. Maybe he was really just tired. It was a long day. And just if you got photographic memory, you'll notice there, they say they gathered to have communion. But guess what? When did they have communion? When did they break bread? Yeah, you're after Paul rising from the dead and afterwards. So, you know, the poor guy came for dinner and he didn't even get a dinner. So his blood sugar levels was low. But, you know, it's like, it's so easy in life as well when we go through life. It's like being on that edge. Now you're sort of disengaging. The next step is so easy. Just to step a little bit further away, and a little bit further away, and just disconnecting more and more. So if we talk about God, the one thing about God always talks about, you know, that we have to run towards Him. And sometimes when things in our life go wrong, we want to run away. We want to do other things. We want to go on a movie binge and watch, I don't know what series, 16 hours of it or whatever. We want to run away. But God wants us to actually run towards Him. God doesn't want just a little bit of us. He wants our whole heart. He wants all of us. And when it comes to where we are positioned, where our hearts are, it's very simple. Either our heart is with the church and connected, or we are sort of thinking about where we are and we're sort of halfway in and halfway out, or we are outside. Everything else is just those three real states. You can't really be anywhere else. And God really wants us to be inside, where we feel cared for, where we feel loved, where we feel safe. We are the ones that puts ourselves on the edge and then further off. And it's our responsibility to come back to God. Sometimes we need a bit of help, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. Just wanted to, I think I've said it now, but so the results, the consequences of this was death. Just wanted to highlight that. It wasn't like just a minor thing, an embarrassing moment. He died. And there's this progression in the natural. He sat in the window, then he fell asleep, and then he died. And if you look at our lives, unfortunately, when we go through this, when stuff that really tough around our lives and really we struggle with, we can move away from God. And, you know, if we move away from God, there's no life outside of God. So we're going to a place of death, because not just because God isn't there. We're running away. God is waiting for us to come back. So sometimes you look at life and look at this Lucky's life and our lives. You know, we can come up with lots of excuses of why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So say, for example, we need to go to church, which is one of the things. So when I Googled this on the internet afterwards, it was interesting how many people talked about, you know, church attendance and got this out of this. And then obviously don't fall asleep in church. You won't get, you know, actually a sermon or two on not falling asleep in church. But if we get so busy in our life, there's so much happening. There's so many issues we have to deal with that we forget about the actual things that are important. And like Conrad said tonight, even like offering and, you know, giving, because giving is connected to our heart. Your heart and your hand is connected. If you don't give, your it's almost like you need to, sometimes you just need to give because you need to give so that your heart can come in line, because there's a disconnect. You need to do that. And when all those things are happening, we can come up with so many excuses. Why are we not praying? Why are we not spending time with God? Why are we not connected? Why are we not going to small group? Why are we not going to church? Why are we not fellowshipping? You know, if this building disappears, we can't come to this building. Laws change. We're not allowed to gather anymore. And now we have to go to an uncomfortable place, a basement somewhere. You know, for some of us, that will be just be too much in South Africa where we are in this age. It's just uncomfortable. Too much stress. Too much uncomfortableness. We want comfort. But Jesus, he died for us. He suffered. And if I read about Paul, he went through a lot. If I read all the stuff that he, and sometimes we talk lightly about all the stuff he went through. I think if some of us went through half the stuff that he went through, shipwreck, beaten, prison, all those things, we would have a different outlook at life if we really knew what he went through. Because he went through hardships, and he did it joyfully. He never complained. And if you look at Paul's life and his letters, this is just one thing. There was always people around him, and he was connected to God. He had a relationship with the Father. He had a relationship with God. It was not just for the good days or the bad days. It was constant. He knew that he was dependent on God. And sometimes it feels like we don't think we're actually dependent. We need God. Because we can go on in life so easily, just on our own, and just forget about, you know, God and just what his priorities is in our lives and what he's asking us to do. And if you look at life, I don't know if you realize, I've been around for a while. Maybe for some of you, and Patrick has been around a lot longer than I have. But I've been around, and the reality is people fall. People struggle. We struggle. We fall. It just happens. You don't plan it. It's like Lucky. You don't plan to fall out of the window and die. It just sometimes just happens. You know, you sit in the window and you are tired and you fall out. You just didn't really plan it. Things happen and there's destruction and there's things gets broken in the process. But you didn't plan it. It just happened. And then the other thing is godly people also stumble. We stumble. We sometimes think that just because, you know, being godly and being religious, whatever, doesn't, it's about our relationship with God and our relationship with the people around us. If one of those two falter, we are in dodgy ground. Because we need people around us and we need our relationship with God. We need people to be able to speak into our lives because we have got blind spots. And if you realize that, if you're not, you've got a blind spot somewhere. We've got blind spots. As I grew older, and well, my wife will tell me, you know, it's like you get married and you think you're almost perfect. Not really, but sort of. And then you realize, oh, goodness gracious me, there's all these little things that I didn't think of. And, you know, somebody else that lives close enough to you that can tell you, but, you know, the way that you think about that is wrong. The way that you did that was wrong. You sort of, they can pinpoint that. And we need that in our lives. We need people that's close enough to us that can point out the things in our lives that we then we're not right. We are slightly deceived. When we think that it's okay to be in the window, we think it's okay, that it's not okay. It's not okay at all. Thank you, Konrad. So if you look at Jude 24:25, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, falling," some translations, "and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." Now, so we can fall, but we don't have to fall. We don't have to fall. We don't have to stumble, because God is able to keep us from falling, keep us from stumbling. I wanted to show you an ad, but at the end I decided not to. It's an ad. It comes from the 1989 American ad. It's this ad they've just discovered, or just came out, this little beeper thingy. It's for older people. And then what the ad was about is, if you got this beeper thingy and you fall over or something happens, you're busy getting a heart attack, you just click it. And then you somehow get connected to an operator and you can scream, "I've got a heart attack, getting a heart attack, well, send help." The one bit of this ad was just this lady with a walking thing that just fell over. And then the call to the guys was just, "I've fallen over. I've fallen. I need help." And sometimes we just need to get to that point where we realize that we've actually fallen and we need help. We've gotten to the place where we can't help ourselves. And the Lord has not called us to struggle through all things on our own throughout our life. That's why we've got people here. This is why we've got a church. The church is not the building. The church is us. If we've got a living organism here, you know, we can all be alive, sitting here and breathing and still not be church. Because if we're not connected, if we don't care about one another, we're just faking it. We're having a nice meeting and listening to nice sermons. That's all we're doing. We need to be connected. The church, as a church, we need to connect it, be connected. We need to care for one another. It's like interesting, like this guy falling out of the back that nobody actually figured out that it was a bit dodgy for him sitting there. He just fell out. Nobody stopped him. And for us sitting here, sometimes we see people that are on the wrong track. We see things in their lives. We know they're going through a tough time. It's not something sometimes people struggling with sin. It's just that life is tough. Work is tough. Kids are tough. Family is tough. Relationships are tough. And if we know that, we are also responsible to act on that. We need to care. And it's so easy also not to care. To not really care with somebody going through a really tough time, to not really care enough to not reach out. So if you're looking at Delft, ladies, for those other 40, those ladies, that's by going there, you're showing that you care. You can send money. You can send flowers. You can do all those things. But you know what people need? They need you there. They need your face. They need your hug. They need your presence. They need my presence. That's how we demonstrate love. I can send my wife flowers and nice messages, you know, but it's not just, we need more than that. We need some FaceTime. We need to talk. We need to be able to look each other in the eye. A relationship is not long distance, that thing. And if we need to reach out to people, we need to touch them. We need to physically be able to go into their space and reach out to them. If we don't do that, we can't really reach them. We can't get there. It's like you can pray for people to get saved in India, but it's so much better if you go there and physically are there, and God can use you and you can physically see God moving. God answers prayers. You don't have to go. So if you look at I'm going to talk about this restoration, because this lucky guy, he was lucky because he got restored. He was dead, but he lived. And I just wanted to sort of picture this thing. Paul is preaching here. So somebody noticed at some point in time that Lucky is not sitting in the window anymore, made some alarm. When they got there, he already died. So they probably went to the preacher, you know, I'm standing here and somebody comes and says, shh, you know. Okay. So then Paul doesn't sort of, you know, it's like, I love the way Paul acts here, reacts. He just goes down to the courtyard where Lucky is. He literally, the Bible says, he threw himself on him. And he hugged him. He embraced him. That is all that he did. Luke is a doctor. He's quite detailed in most of this. He doesn't say he prayed for 3 hours, spoke life over him. That is all that Paul did. He just hugged him. He just embraced him. And the young man went home alive. And when it comes to us feeling so far away from God or far away from people, you know what? Poor Eutychus, whatever. Eutychus. I practice a lot of times. Still doesn't work. I'm sticking with Lucky. So, if you look at Lucky, it doesn't help telling him that he was wrong to sit in the window. It doesn't tell him that he's got to attend Bible school. It doesn't help telling him that, you know, he's just, you know, get his life in order, whatever. It doesn't help because Lucky is dead. He can't hear you. And there's some of us that really feels like that. We feel dead. We feel like we're not connecting to people. We're not connected to God. And you know what? All we need to say is, Lord, help me. Help me. Because sometimes what people need is just to be loved. Need to be cared for. And this is easy to say, but difficult in practice. To really love the people around you, to really care for them, to really be able to love them for who they are, to really hug them like Paul did, and just not criticize, and not be critical, and just encourage, and be Jesus to them. I love this picture, the prodigal son. You know this. The boy comes home, and he's not, you know, he's not smelling like pigs. Pigs are pretty clean animals. Did you know that? They're pretty clean. It's that other stuff that they produce that's really stinky. And you can't wash it off easily. It really sticks. So he comes home. His dad sees him afar off, and he runs towards him. He said, in Luke it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And I want to say, if for all of us that are feeling like, you know, just life is too much, I want to say this is how God feels about all of us. When we come towards him, this is how he reacts every single time. He does not come with a finger. He does not come with a stick. He does not come with criticism. He just wants to hug us and to bless us if we come back to him. And tonight is that opportunity for you and for me and for us to look at our own hearts, to see where we are. You know, where are we? Where are we? How connected are we? Because if we're not connected, if we're on the window or we're sort of slipping further away, tonight is the night to come back to the Father and just say, here I am. Here am I. And God is not going to say that you stink of this funny stuff that pigs produce. God is not going to do that. He's going to accept you right as you are. You don't have to do anything. You just have to approach him. You just have to come into his presence. You know, the story goes on. The father says, put a ring on a finger. You know, get him clean clothing. Obviously, you do need clean clothing if you're coming from the pigs. So, you know, all those things and slaughter the fatted calf. You know, the father is just so expresses his love so, you know, in such a real and tangible way. And that's a picture of the Father God for us and each one of us, each one of you sitting here. And I want to ask, you know, we're the church, so some of us are struggling. Some of us is, you know, fallen, almost like we feel dead. Some of us go in that direction. And there's some responsibility on us, and that's something that's really on my heart. You know, we need to care for the people around us. And if you look at Paul, if Paul had, if they just ignored him, you know, Paul could have done, like some people, you know, says, you know what, there was an accident in the back, and, you know, our condolences to the family. Can we just have a minute of silence? You know? That's not what Paul did. You know, and he, for me, it's just like, that's what God, that's what Jesus would have done. That's what the Father, it's like reaching out, going that extra step and caring for the person. Getting out of our comfort zone. If we know that somebody's going through a tough time, not just a WhatsApp message, not just a voice note, but actually go and visit them. To actually get into their space. We cannot say that we are the church of Jesus Christ and just work through WhatsApps. That's not biblical. We need to get out. We need to get out to that friend that is struggling. We need to make a coffee date. So you're the younger crowd, younger generation. So, you know, coffee is good. You know, you all drink coffee. So go for the coffee date. Go for the coffee conversation. Reach out. If you think that somebody is struggling, reach out. And sometimes in our small groups, we know there are people that are struggling because they say we are struggling. And then sometimes we think, we say, yes, brother, we pray for you, you know. We'll pray for you. And it's great praying. It really is great praying. I never say no prayer. I'm the guy that prays. So I'll tell you, I'll pray. But that's the beginning. If you pray for the guy and you're not moved to go and visit him, you need to say, Lord, help me. Because I am disconnected from this person. We need to be connected. It's all of us. You know, this the beauty of the church and what Jesus was talking about when he prayed to the, it's like we are all one. If one suffers, all suffer. But in practice, what does it mean in practice? In practice, it means that if one of you are going through a tough time, and I know it, I need to be aware of that. Ross cannot do everything. You know, it's not for the pastor and the elders to do everything. Did you know that? You know, we are just equipped for the ministry. You, the guys, all of us need to do it. If we all do it, we have a living community. We have a living body. And we care for one another. If we don't do that, we're just another dead organism. And we have a pretty building with nice verses on the walls, but it doesn't make a difference to people's lives. So, yeah. I want to say, if Paul didn't go out, he wouldn't have been, you know, we didn't know where he was restored. Maybe somebody else who prayed for him, I don't know. But we need to go out. We need to reach out for those who are struggling. And, you know, the beauty is, like Ross even said, there's hope. There's hope. We serve the God of the impossible. And I've been a Christian for a while. And I can tell you, if you stay close to God, if you stay close to the people around you, you're going to be okay. If you isolate yourself, you're going to be in trouble. If you isolate it, you are in trouble. You're already in trouble. We can't be isolated in this world. And the devil, the first thing that he does is he isolates us. What does offense do? If you're offended with me because of the way I preach, whatever, and you get offended, now you don't want to come to church because you don't like me. So that's awesome. It's fine. The problem is you're not coming to church. The devil gets us with these small things and affects our lives in a great measure, and we don't even realize it. Because it's like, when you go to cell, but if that person goes to cell, you know, I'm just going to check the WhatsApp messages and just make sure, you know, is she coming? Is he coming? Yes or no? If he's coming, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm going to do something else tonight, you know. It's so easy to get there when we get offended. Who's been there? Huh? Surely you must be. Some of you must have experienced it. Thank you, Conrad, for your honesty. You'll be rewarded in heaven. It's so easy to get there, and like the devil wants to. And when we isolate it, it's just bad. I've told you before. I've got a couple of friends, quite a few, over the years, that got offended with God, for various reasons. The one guy got offended because his dad got cancer and died. Some other people got offended with the church They got offended with a pastor. They got offended with people in the church. You know, some of them have come back to the church. Do you know some of them are not back? And it breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. Because they are going through a tough time. Their lives are not perfect. In this, you know, like any of our lives are perfect, but it's like they're going through life alone. They don't have God. They don't have people around them that care for them. They have people that care for them, but not in that way where you can sit with somebody and praise through something and trust God for a miracle, even for 10 years if it takes that long. And you will not give up. People will not give up. And the devil comes and he takes us out of the circulation, out of that connection, and we're on the periphery. And the other thing that's sort of also beautiful in this picture is the church were comforted. I would be comforted. One of you fell outside and they died and somebody raised them from the dead. I would feel comforted. I would go home and say, thank God, we Father, thank you. Almost lost lucky. But we didn't. Thankfully, Paul was there to pray. Thankfully, Paul was there to hug him. And he came back to life. So, if we look at the church, that is the same thing that we experience if somebody's life is restored. When our lives are restored. When God comes and he fixes the things that are broken in our lives. We are all comforted by it. Do you know why? Because we can see that God is moving. We know God is moving. I know God is moving. But you know what? I don't know what God is doing in all of your lives. And that's why our testimonies are so important. That's why I love the testimonies on the, you know, all those videos we shoot. And you can go and you can watch what people have gone through and their testimonies and their lives. Because life is real. Life is tough. It's not a fairy tale. For some of us, sometimes for a while, it's maybe a fairy tale, but then, you know, at some point in time, God is going to challenge us as well. We need to grow. You don't grow in a fairy tale. Even, you know, they all lived happily ever after. You know, beautiful. But you know what? We could also live happily ever after, but there's still other things happening. There's still challenges going to come our way. And we also need strength. And so, you know, we can, there's these two things. There's this thing that God wants to restore. I'm going to say to you tonight, God wants to restore. So if you're feeling like you're dead, if you're feeling like you're falling, you're about, you're sitting like in the, you know you're in this window, you know you're in the wrong place, you know you're going in the wrong direction, then God is here, God is alive, and requires some transparency from us to say that we are there. Because it's so easy to go in and out of a service, in and out of people's lives, and not be honest. And you know, like social media just tells us that. Because people put the face brush versions of themselves on Facebook with a funky makeup. You know, you see the person for the first time in real life and you just think, really? Was that you in Facebook? I missed it. You know, people just want to show the pretty stuff. But you look at the Bible, that's one of the things that I love so much about the Bible. God is not afraid about the stuff that goes wrong because he can fix it. He can heal. He can forgive. He can restore. He's in the business of restoration. Amen. So, when this one verse I just felt I needed to read for you as well. It's just Isaiah 42:3. It's well known. You all know it. But it's talking about Jesus and it says, a bruised reed he will not break. And a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. And I say some of you are feeling like you're feeling like that broken reed. Not the broken, the knakte reed. You know, like you're bruised. You feel like you don't have the strength to continue almost. And there's areas in your lives that you're just hopeless. You've given up. And I say from where God is standing, he's never going to come and break you. That's never his intention. His heart is not into breaking. He doesn't want to break us. He doesn't want to put out our flame. That's not who God is. He loves us. He sent Jesus to die in our place so that we don't have to go through those things. Sometimes we make the wrong choices. We choose to act in a certain way. We choose to isolate ourselves. Sometimes it's in our head and we just do things because of, you know, patterns. We just do it every time. If somebody offends me in church, I'll just find another church. I'm not going to deal with it. You know, there's many people like that. They come in, they have a great time for 3 months until Tani Susan or somebody else offends them. Wherever. Charlie. Is there any Charlies here? Charlie. Somebody that's not here. Offends them. And then they say, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to go to another church. But it's like that old story that I still smile every time I think about this. When this, I don't know who wrote it, where this guy said to this lady, comes to him and says, you know what? This church is not perfect. This church is just not good enough. I'm going to Joe Soap across the street. I'm going to go to his church. His church is awesome. His church is perfect. And the pastor's answer is perfect. Lady, Tani, sorry. When you arrive at Joe Soap church, his church ain't no perfect no more. Because you are there. We think that sometimes you just think we're perfect. You know, we're going to go there. But you know what? We all have our issues. We all have areas. And God, it's a journey. God is taking us from glory to glory. We are growing. We are continuing. And as long as we serve God, as long as we follow Him, we're going to grow. We don't want to stagnate. The devil loves us to stagnate. Somebody said long, long time ago, you know, if you look at the Titanic, it's a big ship. Or any big ship for that matter. All these cruise liners, it's huge ships. We've got offices in the waterfront, so every now and then I see those ships. It's huge. I cannot imagine why they should be floating if I read how much they weigh. But the thing is, that ship, you can only direct the ship if the ship is moving. Did you know that? You can take that rudder thingy then, or whatever, that steering wheel, whatever, I don't know, I'm not a sailor, so whatever that thing, they turn or move. You can turn that thing. You can swivel. You can go wild. You can do dance moves on it. You can do whatever you want to do with that steering wheel. If the ship is not moving, guess what? You're going nowhere. You're just standing there in the same position. Because if you're not moving, you can't. There's no direction. You have to keep moving. When it comes to the kingdom of God, we need to keep moving. If we stagnate, if we get to this point, it's bad. Because we're just getting stagnated. And God wants us to move. God wants to direct us. So, we had a good couple of laughs on Lucky's account. But I'm really serious about this. So, if you look at what Philip said in the worship, and he talked about, you know, some of us that are feeling like we're in this dark tunnel, and we don't see the light. And Conrad talked about the light. And even Ross came and talked about the fact that God is the God of the impossible. And I really want to challenge you tonight to respond. Because God wants to do something in our hearts. He wants to, where we're struggling, He wants to touch us. He wants to restore us. He wants to bring back connection in our lives. He wants to bring back life in our lives where there is no life. So if you feel like you're falling, if you feel like you're on the edge, then you need to step back tonight and just say, I'm falling. There's this area, whatever it is in my life, my relationship with my mother, my relationship with my father, there's something that just, it's getting me down. It's making me stumble. I just don't know. I've lost hope. Then we need to pray for you for that. If you've already fallen in the sense that you've already stumbled, you know, you're here. You're sitting here, but you're not here. Your heart is somewhere else. Your heart, you're not connected anymore. You don't feel like you're connected. You don't feel like you belong. We need to pray with you. We need to pray with you. So God wants to restore that. God wants to bring back life into your life. And then the last bit is, if you know that somebody's struggling, I don't want you to pray for them this week. Really. I want you to go and visit them. I want you to get out of your comfort zone and start doing. We cannot just hear the word of God and just say amen and not do something. You know what thing that I loved about Jesus? He didn't say, go to the prostitutes. He just went to the prostitutes. He didn't say, go to the poor. He went to the poor. He is our example. He just did it. He just went. He didn't write a book, a whole lot of theory. There's a lot of stuff that's in the Bible that is one like doctrine and stuff that he, it's just his life. It's just what he did. He cared for people. And because he cared for people, he did not judge them. If you look at the timelines, you know, you've heard these sermons before, and or the teachings. If you look at the time of Jesus, those people, those prostitutes, those tax collectors, they were really viewed by the Jewish people as, it's like, they are worth, they're not even human. They are subhuman. They are subspecies of humanity. They're not worthy to reach out. They're not worthy to love. And Jesus is the one that reached out. And all of us, so some of you are doing it, but not all of us. And I really want to challenge you to, if you care, if there's somebody, if you say to God, I don't care, that's a good place to start. Good place to say that I see that person struggling, but I actually don't have a heart for them. I don't care. Like the song we sang, you know that second or third song we sang? We sang about God, you know, doing all these things. And what was the last bit? It says, to move me to others, to connect me with others. That whole song is about connecting with God so that I connect with others. It's not just about connecting with God. And I'm going to end with this and saying that there's hope in Jesus. There is real hope. God is real. If you, some of you are younger, if you were to see me 30 years ago, you would have laughed into where I'm now. Not that I'm great at all, but if you look at where I came from, I've grown a lot. And it's by God's grace. When I was a kid, I never for one moment thought that I will ever get married. Not once. I thought I'm just going to never get married. All these women, people, so crazy. I just, ladies, I just had no idea. I just saw the bad stuff. I just saw all the fights. I just saw the negative stuff. And I just said, do I ever want to do that? God had to come and change my heart. Because otherwise, I'd probably be single still. So, you know, we all, these things in our hearts, things we see and we know. Sometimes you say, but I want to do this, but I can't. I'm struggling with this. And for that, I really want to ask you tonight. If you don't have the courage to come forward, then you can tap on the person's arm or shoulder next to you. But I do not want you to leave. I do not want you to leave tonight without doing business with God. Because God wants to restore. God wants to bring life. He's the life giver. He wants to bring life in our lives. And if you're feeling dead, if you're feeling disconnected, He wants to come and heal. He wants to come and restore you. He wants to come and heal that broken bones, the broken relationships, whatever it is that's getting you down. And is it a magic wand? Is it a magic wand? No, it's not a magic wand. God can come and restore our hearts and give us life and hope. Does it mean the relationship is restored immediately always? No, it's a journey. But if you don't have a place where you can stand and you can rest and find a place of rest and safety in the church, you're always going to be thrown by everything around you. God doesn't want us to be thrown. He wants us to know where to run, to Him and to the people around us. It's always, I'm going to end with this. It's very telling if something good happens in your life or something bad happens in your life. Who are the first person you tell? Who are the first person you tell? Do you tell God first? Do you say this is an awesome, terrible, awesome situation, great, thank you? Or, you know, it's a great indicator for where our hearts are. You know, do you phone your mother first? If you've been married for 30 years, it's probably not a good idea. You should tell your wife first. You know, where is it? Who do you run to when the good stuff happens? Where do you run to when the bad stuff happens? God wants us to first run to Him. And then if we run to Him, we can run to the people around us in church, the people that know His heart, the people that know Him, because they can speak life into our hearts. They can speak life into our life. And we need that. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm really trusting God that you're going to have enough, brave enough. So I'm looking for brave people tonight to say that I need help, I need prayer. Because that's why we are here. That's why we have church. So we can meet with God so that God can touch our hearts, that He can change our lives. So I'm just going to pray. So that for those of you that just going to care for somebody in the week, I'm going to pray for you too. That's all of us. So Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this picture, Lord God, of lucky, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we are the fortunate, Lord. That we are the ones, Lord God, that your grace is enough, Lord God. That we are the fortunate ones, Lord God. We've been bought by the blood. We belong to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us, Lord. Jesus, that you showed it on the cross by dying for us, Lord, and you bled and you died for us, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us, Lord, and going through all of that so that we can have a relationship with you, so that we can have a connection with you, and that we can also have a connection with one another, Lord. That we can really be in a place, Lord God, where we feel cared for and we feel loved, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, tonight, Lord God, for every single person that do not feel cared for and loved for, or are going through a tough time, or are stumbling, Lord God, or just life is just too much, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your grace on their lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, for the braveness, Lord God, for the boldness, Lord God, to step out, Lord God, and just say, I need help. I need help. I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to stand with me. I need somebody to walk with me. I need somebody to help me. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, as a church, Father, Lord, that you'll come and just pour your heart into our hearts, Lord. Father, that we will care, Father, for the ones that are not being cared for in this world, Father. But Lord, firstly, Father, that we will care for one another, Lord. That we will not just be cheap speech, Lord God, and cheap words, Lord God, but Father, that our hearts will be followed by our hands, Lord, and by our presence, Father. And that when people are going through a tough time, Father God, we will reach out to them, Lord God, physically, go to their homes, at work, in the coffee shop, Lord. Reach out, Lord God, and be practical and go into people's spaces, Father. Like Jesus, like you did on earth. You went and you moved into people's spaces. You moved into the space of the brokenhearted. You moved into the space of the tax collectors. You moved into the space of the prostitutes, but you also moved into the space of the theologians, of the scribes and the Pharisees. You moved wherever you went, you moved and you touched people's hearts because you were there, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you are in us. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in us, Lord, and where we go, you go. Lord, and so we pray tonight, Lord, we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that as we go through this week, Father, that we will see life. Lord, in Jesus' name, that we will see people restored, so we can see people's eyes lit up, Lord God, because they know that you care for them, Lord, because we care for them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray it, Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.